This is the Yukon Entrepreneur Podcast, and I'm your host, Carrie Johnston. This podcast is recorded on the traditional territory of Champanenajak First Nations in beautiful Dakwakata Henge Junction. This is a short series for Yukon Innovation Week, where we're connecting with innovators across the territory who are focused on health and wellness. I'm joined today by Vanessa. Vanessa, please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, Carrie. Thanks for having me. So my name is Vanessa Iyer's daughter, and I am the co-founder and designer for my self-named brand, which is Vanessa Iyer's daughter. Folks know us also as the Wild Yukon Furs Company or just the Fur Jewelry Store. That's how we're known around town.
And how long have you been operating?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked me this today of all days. So we're celebrating our 6th anniversary this month, which still kind of blows my mind that I'm not still in those like gut-wrenching and super taxing early startup days. But no, we're celebrating 6 years this month.
That's fantastic. And kind of past that 5-year hurdle where like it can be kind of tricky for small businesses. So congratulations on achieving that.
Thank you. And let's not forget, like, you know, COVID happened in there. So I feel like the 6 years we got, like, I've said to some folks that every COVID year is like a dog year. So there's like, you know, 14 years of like extra in there.
100%, 100%. So where's your market? Where are you operating right now?
So we have our flagship store based in downtown Whitehorse, Yukon, in the Horwoods Mall. My production studio is based in my home. And then as of last summer, we opened our second retail location in Skagway, Alaska.
Nice. And congratulations on that. I got a chance to visit and it was absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. It's a big and beautiful store as opposed to our flagship store, which is like 125 square feet. It's very, very small. But I've said to some folks that the Alaska store is what the Whitehorse store wants to be when it grows up, because it's just so big and beautiful and glamorous. But yeah, they're both very unique and very different stores.
And so it's Innovation Week here in the territory. What does innovation mean to you?
So, I mean, we know that innovation, just the definition of it, is that it's something new. It's a new idea, a new method, it's a new technology. So for me, how innovation connects to the product as opposed to our business operations as a whole, the innovation for us was to create a really unique product in the accessories, jewelry and accessories space. But to do it in such a way where we were including the indigenous trapped wild Yukon fur, but not as a standout piece in a greater collection. We wanted the fur to be the collection. Unlike a lot of jewelry brands, we don't do seasonal collections. We'll introduce new designs or an interpretation of a design here and there just to keep it a bit fresh. But generally speaking, because we're using natural materials, every single item is inherently one of a kind, which precludes the need to have new releases of new collections regularly, because the fur ensures that every piece is one of a kind and unique and beautiful and unlike anything else.
And how does wellness feature in the work that you do?
I was thinking a bit about this, about how wellness plays into it, because for anybody who, you know, has a small business like I have, especially if they manufacture a consumer good, there's not a huge amount of space for downtime or rest or self-care or relaxation and, you know, napping or sleeping at like any of those things. It's about a lot of like 14, 16 hour days, especially in this season where, you know, while we're recording this, this is the last quarter of the year. And in retail, this is where the rubber meets the road. It's like, it's all or nothing right now. And as long as we're, you know, putting product out and we're keeping the shelves full and we're talking to people, you know, this is keeping the machine operating. And if we put our feet up and take a nap, it's like everything theoretically comes to a screeching halt. So, you know, what I've tried to do more and more, especially now that we're in this sort of, we've come past that 5-year hump of entrepreneurship, where I can settle in to a more sustainable rhythm. I have a spectacular team of retail staff that basically operate my store almost all of the time. I'm in there probably one day a week typically, but generally speaking, I've taken a big step back from the store, which allows me to spend more time refining my production system, which now means it's more efficient. It follows a more sustainable flow. I'm not so helter skelter running around all over the place, making one of these, one of those. I can make 100 of these, put them on the shelf, fill the Alaska store, fill the Yukon store, fulfill online orders, and it's a much easier process. So today we're recording, it's a Saturday. I have nothing on my work calendar. I might create some Instagram content. I might go make some jewelry to restock in the warehouse shelves. But generally speaking, I'm going to put my feet up. I'm probably going to watch a little Netflix. I might even have a nap.
That's fantastic to hear. And what do you think it means from a wellness perspective to be utilizing Yukon furs in the products that you're making?
Oh man. I mean, for me, it's the privilege of getting to use Yukon fur is such a big one. And every time I speak about it being a privilege, I also am aware that there's this responsibility. And I always think about Spider-Man and Peter Parker. With great privilege comes great responsibility. And this is no different, right? Like I get to stand in this space, especially when I'm in the retail store and I'm, one-on-one, face-to-face with customers, and I get the difficult questions, or I get people who want to ask questions without looking stupid, and they want to get some direction from somebody who presents as white, which I am. I'm not indigenous to this part of the world. I'm a settler. And so when people come into the store and they understand that it's an indigenous harvested material that we're using, they want to know, is it okay for me to wear it? What do I need to know? How do I answer questions when I'm wearing it? Is it trapped ethically? Is it trapped humanely? Who's doing the work? Where are they doing it? What are their, what are their personal stories? And so I get to fill in these gaps in a really safe way. And I keep mentioning that I've got this incredible retail staff. They're all equally passionate humans who are treating this like their own opportunity to do their own decolonization work. Two of them are not indigenous to here. One of them is. And so for the one staff who is indigenous, she gets to do her own decolonization work from the other side of the coin. As a white presenting Kaska woman, she loves, and she's an educator as well, she loves having the difficult conversations. When we were going to close the store for the Day of Truth and Reconciliation, but she was scheduled to work that day, and I said, do you want to work that day, or would you rather not, so that you can observe this day in your own way? She's like, no, if that's my day and you want to be open, let me be open so I can have the conversations if the opportunity arises. So for me as a leader as well, like getting to work with this material that can be very polarizing, very emotional, but then also to work with a team who understands the mission and the goals of this business and how we want to impact the community and individual trappers across the territory on a global scale, which we're now operating at. To have this team that sees that vision, that understands that they're equally invested when they're given the opportunity to do their own growth or to stand in those uncomfortable spaces, they're really keen to do so because I think they also feel really well supported in doing that.
Wonderful. That was a lot of energy in your response. I can tell how passionate you are. And so, what else inspires you about the work that you're doing?
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's it right there. Like I kind of preempted that question. What inspires me is the people. When I started this work, I had no idea just how much of it was going to be education driven. I knew that there was going to be a significant amount, but it was absolutely lost on me out of total ignorance, having never taken on a project of this nature or of this scale, how much learning I was going to have to do, how much humility I was going to have, and how much vulnerability I would have to get comfortable with as well, to just know there's stuff I don't know, to know that there's stuff that's shared with me that I have to also tell people, that I know these things, but it's not my place to share them. If you want to go on a journey, you need to do that with elders or folks in your community, or like I can kind of usher you in the certain direction, but there's lots of stuff that's not my place. And so to kind of have the self-awareness to know, where some of those boundaries lie and be willing to get it wrong, I think is where all of the growth and the maturity and the development and the richness comes for me.
What bothers you about the current system that your business is operating within?
This is a tricky question to answer, because I mean, I could get into all kinds of like stupid laws and bag bans and dumb things like that. They're really, at the end of the day, like they're minor irritants, right? Like they're like just a like a saddle burr, but things that truly bother me, like on a real deep and personal level, are, I would say, the main thing is the notion about competition versus community. I think, especially when you operate in a smaller area like this, where we have these tight-knit communities and we have tons of product overlap and, limited access to certain resources. I've said in having conversations with folks about, just specifically the product that we make earrings and necklaces, but mainly earrings with fur. If I were to sit in a room with a ton of artists who had a similar skill set and said, okay, here's a bunch of pieces of fur, here's a bunch of pieces of metals and whatnot that you could make jewelry from, here are the tools, you have an hour, everybody make one pair of earrings. I guarantee you, if there was 100 people in the room, there would be 100 pairs of different earrings with tons of similarities, but different earrings. And I think if just with that principle alone, it shows that nobody can do what you're doing exactly the way you're doing it. The world needs what you do the way you do it. And so with that in mind, I think the part that's missing is the collaboration and the sharing and the lifting each other up in a really true and sincere and vulnerable way that allows us to savor one another's successes and wins without feeling like we're missing out on something, while at the same time saying, hey, you're ordering from that company, I'm ordering from that company too. We're doing slightly different things and we're selling them in different places. Why don't we order together and share on shipping costs? Or why don't we order together and get the better bulk rate? And then still protect their own unique design without the fear of being copycatted, because everyone ideally is coming at their creative work with their own story, with their own lived experience, with their own set of values, their goals, their dreams, their fire. That can't be copied. So I think if in a if we could create a perfect world where businesses are operating, we can be collaborative first. There is no competition because there's room for all of us. There's enough success for everybody to go around. It's not pie. We're not going to run out. There is enough success for everybody. And I think the sooner we can get past the fear-driven behaviors that say, well, no, I can't tell you where I get this stuff, or oh, you can't see what I'm developing because it's a secret. Just do your thing. And just trust that there is room for you to do what you're doing. And if it's done in a really sincere and clear way, even if someone comes along and completely duplicates a product that you're making, they don't have that same fire that's driving the why behind making it. Copycats will come and go, but they will always fall away. The thing that you're doing that comes from in here, that fire in your belly, no one can copy that because that's yours.
I love that kind of call to action, like just collaborate, be in community together, because we build incredible things when we do.
And it feels a hell of a lot better.
It does. Living in the far north, we kind of have this advantage of seeing Canada through a unique lens. What lessons do you think Yukon has to share with the world about innovation?
Oh man, if you want to see how to make something out of nothing, look at a Yukoner. Like on my Instagram, we're identified as being the original fur jewelry brand. There's tons of companies out there that make fur jewelry, but I think as far as I know, we are the only company that specializes in and is well known for a signature line that doesn't change, it doesn't come and go. And like I've never seen that anywhere. Why does that exist here? Because my partner is an indigenous fur harvester. And hearing his stories of the offensively low prices that were being made available to him through the auction stream, I knew there was a better way. And I knew that if I applied myself and got really clear about what I was doing and who it was serving, being the community of trappers and the people who want to support them with the finished goods we're making, those are the two groups we're serving. By being super clear on who that is, like I knew there was no stopping us. I knew that it was only going to succeed. And as long as we stay focused on who we're serving and why we're doing it, it's only going to keep growing. And I think that that's something that every Yukoner can say about their business or about, the work that they're doing is they're doing it because there's a need, there's a group to be served, and there's an appetite to support that. So it's a formula for success.
What's next for you and your business? Where are you seeing your opportunity?
I love this question. For me, the biggest opportunity that we have right now, and this is something I want anybody watching this video or listening to the podcast to remember. Your greatest weakness is your greatest strength. So for us, we're in an isolated area, but then that also means that it's we can get a bigger piece of a smaller pie. So that makes it a really great testing ground for developing new products. It also means, for us that we're, oh, how I can't even find the words to articulate this. Whatever you perceive as being a shortcoming because of being in a remote location or because it's difficult to get something, it allows you to get crystal clear, to laser focus on what you want to specialize in, whether it's your niche, product-wise, community-wise. We have this incredible opportunity, especially because we're so financially well supported with all the programs available in the North, that this perceived weakness of being isolated or being really small or having a smaller population, that allows us to get really clear feedback on new product ideas, on new services, on all sorts of things that in a larger area, in a larger market, it would be you would be trying to get more clarity from more noise. You would have to dial tune your dial in more clearly to get that feedback. One of the things that we find with our store in Alaska is we're at a certain part of Broadway where, we don't get the same level of crowds. And so initially that made us really uncomfortable. Oh no, are we in the wrong part of the street? Should we be closer to the cruise ships where the crowds are bigger? And after some real careful thought and consideration, we realized that that perceived weakness of having a lower volume of traffic actually was our greatest strength because it meant that the people who did come all the way up the street to find our store really wanted to be there. They would come in, it was a little bit quieter, they would stay longer because there were no crowds in the store. And that then created an opportunity for us to have these incredibly rich, meaningful interactions with people so that even if they didn't buy something that day, they were left with such an impactful experience that, now if you go look at our TripAdvisor reviews, people love that space because of how it makes them feel. And that's something they get to have forever. So when they go home, even if they haven't taken an item with them that they've purchased, they remember how that felt and they're going to tell everybody. Fridge magnet, not going to make you feel that way, but a really great cultural experience where you meet some people and you learn something and you laugh together, you cry together. That is a gift that you get to keep forever. So your greatest weakness is your greatest strength.
Oh, that's a fantastic story. Anything else that you want to leave us with before we sign off today?
Oh gosh, no, but you can shop at irisdaughter.com anytime. We ship
Christmas is
everywhere.
coming. Yeah, holiday season approaches.
Tons of shopping days left.
That's fantastic. Well, thanks so much for your time today, Vanessa.
Thanks for having me, Carrie. It's always a pleasure.
Take care.